Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody is a star, you guys. This is your favorite flavor, Patrice Chocolate Banks, and we are once again live on Tribe, okay? Now, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I am looking so forward to tonight's show. I hope everybody had a wonderful week. TGIF, you know what I'm saying? Also, is Mother's Day weekend coming up, so I know you guys got all kinds of things planned for your mothers. You know what I'm saying? I put up a thing on Facebook today on my cover, you know, a super mom like Superman. It was super mom. You know, we know what that's all about, especially us mothers. We know that we, practically every single one of us have an S on our chest. You know what I'm saying? So, but in the meantime, having said that, the S on the chest thing, I'm trying to do everything. I'm trying to be a mother. I'm trying to be a wife. I'm trying to be a radio hostess. I'm trying to keep the funk alive. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how much time y'all got, but probably not enough for me to keep, you know, the list going of what I'm trying to do. But tonight, what's happening is this. I'm trying to do a new thing on Everybody is a Star, called Funked Up Fridays. Funked Up, F-O-N-K-E-D, Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do it every second Friday of the month. And what I'm hoping is that I'll have DJs from all regions, you know, co-host with me on these Funked Up Fridays. And because, I want to know what y'all are out there listening to in the name of funk. You know, what are you listening to in D.C.? What are you listening to in New York and Texas and Louisiana? What's going on with y'all? What y'all listening to and calling funk? That's what I want to know. So I had this epiphany after I did a show with my buddy, Barry K. Jackson, DJ Supreme, out of Kansas City. He co-hosted with me, and I liked it, and it was a lot of fun because he had his own spin on, you know, what he considered the funk was, you know. And funk is a state of mind, you know what I'm saying? So I really enjoyed that. So from that show with him, I decided that this is what I want to do. I wanted to bring in as many DJs as possible from everywhere, from wherever I could bring them from, that wanted to co-host with me. And when I put that call out there to do that, one of the first ones that answered that call was Dr. G. Now, Dr. G, let me tell you about him. He started DJing in 1974. While a student at Howard University, all over D.C. and Maryland. And in 1975, he was a co-founder of Howard's AM radio station, WHBC. Then in 1978, he was the midnight host of Man's Mind, a funk rock radio program at Howard's FM station, WHUR. Okay?
That's right.
So having said all that, you know, he's a funkologist supreme, you know what I'm saying, and I am glad to have him with me tonight, and I just want to say welcome, Dr. G, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I did all that stuff in the 70s, but I'm still rocking, still DJing all over D.C., Maryland, what we call the DMV. D.C., Maryland, Virginia. So all over the DMV, we still doing it big, and we playing the funk. The funk.
Okay,
you know, understand what I'm saying?
I think I do.
Okay.
So, So now let's start from the beginning. We're gonna give, we're gonna find out a little bit about Dr. G. So where were you born? Where'd you come from? Where were you raised?
Well, I was born in Lexington, Kentucky, home of the University of Kentucky Wildcats, who almost won the championship this year. But then I was raised in Cincinnati, not far from Bootsy. I'm about 4 years younger than Bootsy. But I remember Bootsy because he was already a star when I was a teenager in Cincinnati. He was already running things. And so my uncle played drums with Bootsy way, way back. I'm talking 60s, before James Brown came and snatched up Bootsy. And then
what's your uncle's name?
Kenneth Ball. They called him Cannonball.
Okay.
Played drums around town.
Mm-hmm.
And so we left Cincinnati, and my dad got a job with the government, so we moved to Maryland. And I've been basically in the D.C. and the DMV for most of the last 40 years. I did spend some time in Atlanta at Morehouse. Then I transferred to Howard and started doing my thing back home in D.C.
Okay. So what schools – I need you to shout out your schools that you went to.
Oh, definitely. Morehouse. I went to Morehouse for 1 year. Transferred to Howard, graduated from Howard in 78. Definitely shouting out the real HU, you know.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I got a master's from George Washington University. And I have a wife and two lovely kids and three lovely grandkids.
All right. So now tell me, let's go back again. We're getting ready to go back again. Tell me about your first musical influences. Like, when did the music bug bite you? What was happening?
My grandmother, believe it or not, turned me on to James Brown. She had an album called I Can't Stand Myself When You Touch Me. And I was like, wow, James. And then he had There Was a Time was the flip side. And that's when I really got hit by the funk bug was James Brown. Before that, my father listened to Ray Charles, and my mom listened to Dinah Washington. So mm-hmm. I came up on those two, and then I hit James hard.
Okay, so now about how old were you when you said your grandfather?
My grandmother, yeah, I had an album, James Brown album. This was
so
I was
how
like
how old were you?
This was like 67. I was like 12. Yeah, I was young. I was young, but
And James was speaking to you at 12 years old, right?
James was speaking to me at 12 years old. Then Bootsy, of course, was a star already in Cincinnati. So then those two hooked up, James and Bootsy, and the House Guests. I saw all those early Bootsy groups, the House Guests and the Complete Strangers, which a lot of people don't remember the Complete Strangers.
Now, I've never even heard of the Complete Strangers, so you know, kick us some knowledge right quick.
Well, the Complete Strangers was a group that Bootsy put together in Cincinnati right before he met George, and they were doing a lot of funky, freaky stuff like Funkadelic, so George liked that, and Mela Franklin, you know, hooked those two up. And the Complete Strangers did a version of The Goose. You remember on the Parliament album, The Goose, on the Up for the Downstroke album? Well, Bootsy's group did that before Parliament, and they did great. So, yeah, that was early stuff.
Well, that's fine. That's what we need to talk. So what you're saying is after Bootsy left James is when he did this song, when he formed this group, The Complete Strangers.
After he left James and before he went to George,
okay.
That's right.
And before he went to George. So he had the Complete Strangers, and who else? Were there any other groups he was in?
The House Guests. Which they actually had a couple of records, The House Guests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a couple of records locally around Cincinnati, Dayton, around that area.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking maybe 68.
Yeah. Right. So now, when you were going to school, like, let's go back to elementary school, middle school, high school, like, were you interested in music as far as being a musician is concerned? Were there any instruments that you wanted to play, or was it always you know, just music was speaking to you and you just had to find where you could get in, where you could fit in?
Well, I played a little bit of clarinet in elementary school, but very little. My sisters all sang in the choirs and stuff, so the whole family was musical. My father sang in church. So, we came up in the church singing, you know, listening to a lot of gospel, too.
Right, to a lot of course.
But I didn't really play any instruments. Until very little clarinet. Then I started DJing, probably around 74.
Okay,
after I graduated from high school.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how you started DJing.
Mm-hmm. Well, at high school, I went to John F. Kennedy High School. I got to shout them out in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Okay.
And I would always bring the latest 45s to school. They always knew, you know, to look at me. You know, I would hitchhike down to D.C. because I lived in the suburbs. I'd hitchhike to D.C. and pick up the latest James Brown 45 or the latest Sly Stone 45. And I'd bring it back to school the next day. I'd be the first one with all the records. So that gradually I started DJing, and my partners had some instruments. They played guitar and bass, and so they had speakers and all stuff. So I used their speakers, hooked it up to my DJ equipment, and I was you know, very early DJ before they were like scratching and all that. I was a personality jock. I talked a whole lot of smack.
Well, if you were playing 45s, I don't even think, I'm not sure about this, but were they even scratching 45s?
No, that's what I'm saying. There was no scratching.
Right.
No,
there was no
such thing as scratching. If there was a scratch, that was a mistake. That means something was wrong with the record.
Okay,
the record
then throw that one away and get a new one. So you were
that's
DJing.
Right.
So you were DJing like you were a pioneer.
That's right. I consider myself a pioneer.
Right. That's what it sounds like. You're a pioneer. And what's funny is that you said you used to hitchhike to D.C.
I used to hitchhike to D.C. right down now, Georgia Avenue.
That's how serious you were. Now, how long was that trip?
If I got a good ride, I could get down there in 30 minutes. A lot of hippies back then, long-haired hippies and Afro blacks. You know? And they got together across the tracks, and like James said, and they would pick us up in the hippie vans, give us a ride, you know, and you don't know what they might be smoking.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. They probably had a lot. They probably had a lot of stuff going on in those vans too.
They had a lot of stuff going on in them vans. You know,
you
they influenced the young brother.
Hey, you were probably looking for a van specifically to get in, weren't you?
I jumped on in, you know, did my thing.
I heard that. And so did you hitchhike back home in a van?
Hitchhike back home with the latest 45s. James Brown, Wilson Pickett, you know, Sly Stone, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. A brother after my own heart. Okay, so you started hitchhiking. I mean, forget about the hitchhiking.
DJing.
You started DJing.
Shortly after that.
Right after high school. Mm-hmm. Right out of high school, right? Okay.
Using all my friends who had a band. I was in a band called Radiation. So I was a sound man for the band. So we used all the band equipment, and I would DJ between sets of the band.
Yeah, because that's what I was just getting ready to ask you. In that time, like, how did the DJ actually fit in? Because, you know, like, the DJ now is like a... you know, it's going to another whole level.
Oh, yeah, he's making big bucks now.
Yeah, but back then when we're talking about 45, how did that whole thing go?
By then the 12 inches had been introduced, and I was no longer really playing 45s. But the band would play, and then they'd take a break, and I would DJ. And that's when really – the people started asking for the DJs, like, you know, when's the band going to be through? We want to hear Dr. G.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I got that. So So DJing was slowly but surely kind of taking over just a little bit.
It was just starting to take over, yeah.
Yeah.
Just starting.
And
we're talking 74, 75. And then I started the radio station at Howard, AM station called WHBC. So then I had access to all the records. So I would borrow the records from the radio station at night. I'd be DJing, so I had free music. And I did say borrow, right?
You did say borrow. So let me ask you this: was there any money involved? Was anybody paying you?
Oh yeah, I was getting paid. Not a whole lot, $150. You know, it was for about 4 hours. Back then, you'd get about $150.
Okay, well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And then at the radio station, of course, we were not getting paid. We were students learning the trade of radio.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And when I went from there, from WHUR to WHUR, which was a commercial station. You may have heard of WHUR FM.
I have heard of WHUR. Yes.
Yeah, and we had a guy named Melvin Lindsay, who did the original Quiet Storm, the original, the very first Quiet Storm, along
right.
with Kathy Liggins, who is now Kathy Hughes.
Right.
We both worked for Kathy. And Melvin would borrow all my records to go on air. He was actually playing albums back then. And it was big fun. I was right there at the beginning of all that.
That's what I like. I like the fact that you were right there at the beginning. Now, what about the women? I mean, you know, I'm getting ready to ask you. You know, I know in time, men, the male, I'm trying to figure out a way to put this. But
right, I understand what
always,
you're saying.
Were there always women around? That was a perk, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, you had your groupies around, the women and stuff. My wife's laying here looking at me.
That's all right. We're talking about a thousand years ago.
Way before I met her. But, yeah, you're right. There was women around and everything. But I was so much into the music that, you know, I was not really paying that much attention, you know, to that angle.
I was really
married to the music. I still love the music.
I heard that. So with that, we're getting ready to play some music, and we're getting ready to play James Brown Escapism. And I want you to tell me a little bit about why you picked this song.
Oh, Escapism was really the beginning of rap music almost. I mean, James was rapping and Bobby Bird in the background, and these boys was hip-hopping before hip-hop. And that beat, you know, that killer beat with Bootsy on bass and Phelps, his brother Phelps on guitar. A lot of times people they forget about Phelps Collins, Bootsy's older brother, who really got Bootsy into it. And I went to Bootsy's, Phelps passed away a couple years ago, and I went to his tribute down in Cincinnati. And it was really something. But, Escapism. I love that Bootsy bass, that Phelps guitar, and that rap, really.
Okay, and I just want to say this. I'm glad you said that, because you know what? You know, there is nothing new on the face of the earth. And for some reason, you know, the hip-hop generation thinks that they discovered all things rap. But they are, like, so wrong. And anybody that studies whatever they're doing, you know, any hip-hop artist or rap artist who has studied what it is that they're doing today, then they know that they are nothing but an extension of, and they are standing on the shoulders of those who started this, they call it rap. I don't like that word rap, but anyway, it started so long ago. And,
James,
you know,
Brown, you had The Last Poet.
Absolutely.
You had Gil
Poet.
Scott Heron.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
they
long
were all
ago.
Rapping.
Absolutely. So, okay, so here we go. We're going to play Escapism. And, by the way, this is the first time I heard Escapism. I thought I heard everything James Brown. but you turned me on to something. So we're going to go with Escapism, James Brown. Bam.
Fellas!
Yeah!
Look at him!
Yeah!
Man, I sure know feel good.
Yeah!
I know the jocks feel good too.
Yeah!
So we sure coming through that thing. See, the other cats afraid to get down like this.
Yeah!
And we don't, you know, we're gonna say we're gonna do it, like we're gonna do our thing, man. You understand?
Yeah!
I mean, you heard the Night Train,
yeah.
The Funky Walk.
Yeah!
Man, they got a thing called the Funky Train.
Oh,
what? The Funky Train!
Yeah!
I got to kick this thing off.
Yeah.
Can I kick it off?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Pang, wait a minute, Pang, Pang, wait a minute, Pang, wait a minute, Pang, Pang.
All right,
I think Pang's doing his due, though. Doing his due. Doing his due. Doing his due. Doing his due. Doing his due.
Solo. Yeah. Yeah. Going down.
said it's not.
You better take it on the lam.
You better watch the man. What about it, bud? What you say, brother?
You better hurt this, bud.
I ain't got no dust. I ain't got no dust. Man, I ain't got no dust, man. Say, man, like I see a whole lot of cars coming down with a lot of lights flying around. Now, I don't know what y'all gonna do. You can end it or you do what you want. But man, like I'm gone.
Now, what I have to say is this. I swear, James Brown sounded like he was speaking pig Latin to me all the time that he ever talked. But his groove was so strong until it didn't make any really difference what he was saying. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, I think I'm about the only person who knew what he was saying.
What he was talking about. Because I tried so hard to understand what he was saying. And I couldn't a lot of times, but it was all right because I was so busy dancing until it didn't even matter. But that James Brown, I'm telling you, he was a prophet, just like I consider Sly a prophet, you know. So
that's right.
That James Brown, boy, is nobody like him before or since. Nobody like him.
He put me out the room. I was dancing, too. She put me out. She said, you go in the other room.
That's what I'm talking about. That James Brown, boy, I love me some James Brown. Okay, so now we're just going to keep the party going, you know, because this is Friday night, and we're going to keep the party going. So the next song on your list is Funkadelic, Let's Take It to the Stage. So tell me, why you submitted that one?
Well, you know, I started out with James, but then in the 70s, I became a P-Funkadelic clone, and I became everything Funkadelic. And I've probably seen James over 30 times. I've seen Funkadelic over 30 times. Whenever they come to town, I'm right there, and they take it to the stage every time. And it's like no matter who tries to follow them, I remember back in the day, some of the groups would try to follow P-Funk, and it's like, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know, they took it to the stage, and they called you out.
Let me just throw this out there, and I'm just throwing this out there. Did you ever see a concert where Grand Central Station and Funkadelic were on the same show?
I believe so. Let me think. I'd have to think back on that one.
Okay. Well,
on the East Coast, I don't know if they played together very much.
Okay. Well, we did. And just let me say this, and I'm just saying this because it's a fact. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about history right now. And I'm just saying I think that Grand Central Station would go before Funkadelic, and it was real hard for Funkadelic to follow Grand Central Station, and that's all I'm saying.
Oh, I believe that, but like I said, I don't remember being at a show where they tried to follow Graham, because you can't really follow GCS either, you know.
Well, you know, so I'm just throwing that out there just for history's sake. You know what I'm saying?
I understand, and you're perfectly correct. You're correct.
Yeah, just for the sake of history. So I got some phone calls coming in, and I see you guys. I see 781, I see 410, 909, and 305. I see all of y'all. But we're getting ready to, right after we play this Funkadelic song, Let's Take It to the Stage, then we're going to get to you guys, okay, as soon as this goes off. So Dr. G already said why he chose Let's Take It to the Stage, so that's where we're going to take it right now. Bam.
Let's take it to the stage.
We're supposed to be taking it to the stage.
Let's go, George. He got scared when you started talking about Graham Central Station.
Yeah.
Hey, Smooth.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm good. Let's take it to the stage, sucker.
Have no fear.
Get on.
Mac Funk is here. Doing it to the max.
How'd you lose, Smooth?
Laughing at you.
Let me tighten it up. Get it on.
Yeah. Funk used to be a bad word. Say it loud. I'm funky and I'm proud. Talking about you, the godfather, godmother, grandfather. They call us the funk mob. Miss Muffet sat on the tuffet, slapping some TAC. Along came a spider, slid down beside her. Say, what's in the bag, bitch? She said, I'm laughing at ya. Funk used to be a bad word. Motherfuck you. Hit it. Hot air and no fire. In your loose booty. Crazy-os. New type thing. Brand new funk. Say it loud. I'm fucking I'm proud. Information being on no tape. That sucker didn't want y'all to dig on him trying to copper that, an ounce of that pee blow. Now he's laughing at you. Cause they funky in the White House too.
All right. George said, let's take it to the stage.
Let's take it to the stage, baby.
Okay. So now what? Now where we're going to take it is to the callers. Now, I have a caller that is like a long-time associate, shindig of mine, and he is like a super Sly and the Family Stone fan. And I'm just going to introduce him and let him just explain what's going on with himself. Area code 781-874, you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yay.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here right now.
Okay,
how are you?
Very good. Very good. I'm good, and I'm glad to be talking to you, and I would like to introduce you to Dr. G. Dr. G, this is Shindig.
Shindig, you're the man out here.
How you doing, Dr. J?
I'm good, brother, good.
My pleasure.
Okay. So what I want you to do is I just want to say that you have done a remake of a Sly and Family Stone song, Wanna Take You Higher, and I was thoroughly impressed with this remake. And I just want to, I want you to just give us a little short, you know, bio, if you will, of what you're doing and what you've been doing, because you're out there keeping the funk alive. And so I want you to tell us what you're doing right now.
Sure. Right now I have a band called Dig Deep. It's a more project of revolving musicians, and we've been recording for the last 14 years. We probably have two albums up online with two more on the way, and I'm working on a fifth album. Before that, I had a band in the 90s called The Trip, and we were very inspired by Sly and the Family Stone, Graham Central Station, and just that deep part of funk, which just never went away, even in the whole craze of hip-hop and so forth. So, you know, when I discovered funk, when I was like, I don't know, in my teens, it never left. I mean, everything came and went, but funk was always here to stay. And
thank you
was,
very much.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere.
No, it's not going anywhere. It may not have gotten the coverage or the patience that hip hop did, but it's a deeper music. I think in a lot of ways, as far as lyrics, more meaningful and way more respectable and just fun.
There would have been no hip hop without the funk.
No, there's
and
no,
you took the words right out of my mouth. You took the words right out of my mouth. But I was going to wait for him to finish saying what he was saying. But, yes, without funk, there is no hip-hop.
Yeah, there's
and
no
so,
hip-hop.
So you've been doing this 14 years.
Yep. And,
okay.
It's just been great, you know, because the music really isn't anything without the idols. You know, they're the people who have come along and, you know, brought it, such as yourself, Graham Central Station, Sly, Earth, Wind & Fire, the Ohio Players, Commodores, Barcase, Chaka Khan, and, oh, God, I mean, the list just goes on. And it's just an attitude. You know, it's really all it is. It's an attitude. It's fun music. It's a groove. And it's just a way of life.
Thank you very much.
It's a swagger.
That's right. It's a culture is what it is. And it is a way of life, because back in the day when we were actually living it, I mean, it was like, you know, to be a part of what funk was, I mean, you had to dress a certain way.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have to dress a certain way. You did dress a certain way. You talked a certain way. You used certain drugs. You know what I'm saying? It was a lifestyle. Style is what
that's
it was.
True.
And so I was so impressed with what you did with I Want to Take You Higher, until I just had to get you in on this episode. And so I want to thank you very much for continuing to do your part to keep that funk alive over there in New York. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Keeping that funk alive. And so I'm getting ready to play this song, and like I promised you that I would. And this is do you want to introduce it and say how you came, you know, what, because how did you even change it the way you did?
Well, I have to tell you, I think because I've listened to Sly and the Family Stone, I mean, music for me has just been a part of me. I knew ever since I discovered it, I just knew it was something I wanted to do, and I think I just absorbed it. And because a group like Sly and the Family Stone that became so premier in my life, it's like what I wanted to do was not necessarily copy them, but I wanted to capture their essence, their power, their spiritualness, what they were about, you know, and find my own essence. So it wasn't even a plan to sit down and say, well, this chord should go here and that chord should go here. I think I kind of looked at it kind of like the way Sly went from the Stand album to the Riot album, where everything was slowed down, or what he did to Que Sera Sera with Doris Day. I pretty much kind of like took that attitude of turning such a jubilant song like Higher into the Riot version. You know, I could feel the Riot period. I could feel that I don't want to say darkness, but just that that honesty of being really in touch with yourself. So it was just one of those things where I just felt it. I felt that's
okay.
what it was, and trusted it. And you know, I'm one of those musicians where I really respect classics. So if I don't think I can do something with it, I'm not touching it. So I was really confident that this was something I could do. So when it came to me and it just felt right, I said, you know what, I really have to lay this down. And I got my musicians, and everybody was really into it. And to this day, people are still into that song. It's really one of my proudest works. You know,
okay,
and
I was thoroughly impressed with this. So here we go, bam. I want to take you higher, digging deep. We digging way deep on this one. Here we go. Had that flavor on it, didn't it? Okay, so while the both of you are still on the line, I want to take a 305 call.
Okay.
Area code 305. Are you there?
Maybe not.
Hey.
Can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear someone.
305?
Is that
305? 305 is in the house.
All right. Well, then 305, a.k.a. Stozo.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing out there? This is Stozo the Clown. Doing a little upside down.
Hey, Clown. How are you, brother?
How's everybody out there?
Dr. G here.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. G? I've been here. It's really good, man. You guys are having a good time there, huh?
Okay, Stozo, here's what I want you to do. We got a lot of information we try to get in a short period of time. So the first thing I want you to do is tell me what you thought about that remake of Higher that Shindig did.
No, I loved it, Shindig. If Shindig is still on the line, that was groovy. It was groovy, groovy. That was awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Dr. G, what do you think? That was terrific, huh?
I like the way you slowed it down, make it a little bit nasty, a little bit dark. We see it right on the Riot album.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I remember when after I recorded it, I'd sent it to Freddie Stone, and I didn't hear back from Freddie, and then I heard from Greg, and I got the biggest compliment from Gregorico. So we've been in touch for like several years, and then eventually Jerry heard it. And I think Cynthia heard it. So I got the approval of the Family Stone, which was really special to me. You know, so that was a really special thing.
Yeah, I really love the harmonies in there. Did you have some ladies singing in there too? It was awesome.
Yeah,
harmonies.
You know, my group makeup pretty much was close to Sly's, because the thing that I loved about Sly's group is that it was this small orchestra, you know, and he had everybody in there. He had every instrumentation in there, you know, vocally, and I wanted the same thing too, to be able to get that across. So yeah, I did have a couple ladies in my band, a lady who sang lead, her name is Tanya Thillett, and this other young lady who played violin, her name is Tara Reynolds.
Is that you on the lead vocals?
Yeah, that's me on lead vocals. Actually, let me see, there are four of us just like, you know, trading off parts. A friend of mine, Reese, who took over Larry's part. Another friend of mine, Jerome Jordan, who did what Freddie probably would have sung. And Tanya did that. And then, yeah, I was the main lead vocalist. And I just had to capture what Sly was about vocally, you know, because he wasn't necessarily a singer with a whole lot of finesse. He just sang from his gut and from his soul. And that
absolutely.
Was what was so
that's what I was
touching.
Getting ready to say. Sly
yeah.
was one of the soulful. He, you know, just it came from the fact that you know, they were a Church of God in Christ. You know, they came
yeah.
from a, you know, they were, you know, that Church of God in Christ influence. And Sly just say he just opened his mouth and his soul just came out. That's what happened.
Yep.
You know
yep.
what I'm saying? And you could feel it, and I know that I could feel it all the way deep down in my soul. It's like, how does this man, because, you know, it was nothing that he was even contriving. He just opened his mouth, and it came out. You
That's
know what
true.
I'm saying? Absolutely.
Yeah. And his voice had so much character. I mean, Freddie, you know, was an amazing singer and had a wider
yes,
range
he was.
Of everything.
Yes,
but
he
Smith,
was.
Freddie was smooth. You know, Sly had this, between Sly and Larry, oh, my goodness. I mean, those characters together is probably just one of the best vocal sections ever between Rose,
what?
Freddie, Sly, and Larry. It was sick.
It was meant to be. You know, Jupiter
yeah.
just aligned with Mars. That's how that
Absolutely.
Went.
Absolutely, man.
So, Sozo, you got anything to say to your homeboy from D.C., Dr. G?
Yeah, I got a whole lot to say to him, but I guess I'll wait till we get off the radio, because he's been just super-duper funky tonight, and I appreciate it, man. That I don't want to give anything away about some of my future recordings that I'm going to be putting out, but he really made me turn me red when I listened to that escapism. I knew every I forgot that I knew every single hook in that song, man, and how many beautiful things with Fred and the
oh,
way
he
talks.
That's an unbelievable jam, man. They were jamming, you know, on the one. James invented the one.
Yeah.
Just an incredible song. Every minute, it was a long song too, but it was loaded. I mean, it's just loaded. And that's what she says. So many people, you know, they trip on James's voice and everything, and it just was entertaining just to listen to him, you know, do his thing on that. So you can
I've been digging some of your stuff too on Facebook, man. Good stuff, man.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. And you know what? I wanted to ask you, Dr. G, and Chindig, if you're still on the line.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
What were you guys' first Slime and Family Stone song that really hit you?
Everyday People for me. Everyday Who's People. That? I mean, before that, I didn't know too much about Sly, but after Everyday People, it was on to the B-Zone Bone.
I think for me, I was hearing Sly, but not, I didn't know it was him. And I remember hearing Family Affair, and then I heard If You Want Me to Stay, and that bass line just jumped out the radio.
Oh, so you're a youngster. How old are you?
Just jumped out the radio, and then a music teacher of mine started getting me into the Greatest Hits album, and I mean, he was like the type of guy who, like, he would point to a part, like, you have to listen to this here, right here, you have to listen to this part. And because I was so into Earth, Wind, and Fire at the time, because that kind of music was so elaborate, Sly, even although his time had passed, the music was so simple, and that's where I wanted to go, you know? And it's just how he could achieve so much with so little. But to answer your question more directly, If You Want Me to Stay was the song. And I got to say, I mean, I have this discussion with some of my friends, but I'm convinced that Larry played it and he didn't get credit. Tell me I'm wrong.
What's
that? I don't really know. Do
that
you
sounds
know,
so much Larry.
Salsa?
That bass line sounds
I've
so much like
that.
Larry.
I've been told, guys, that Sly Stone himself actually played the
bass
line
Sly
for
himself.
If You Want Me to Stay. And
so
Chocolate,
I have a lot of doing his tour now. He plays it a lot. My sister got up on stage with him and sang it with him when he was in Virginia a couple years ago.
What's that, Dr. G? I didn't hear everything you said. Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, Larry does If You Want Me to Stay on his tour now. That's one of the songs he performs. And when he was in Virginia a couple of years ago, my sister jumped on stage and sang it with him. It was real cool. So, yeah, I believe it was Sly playing on the original, but Larry plays it a lot today.
Okay.
Yeah, he sure does, Dr. G. He does, yeah.
Okay.
And Patrice, what's your
favorite
Sly song?
Yeah, that's
my favorite Sly Stone song is all of them. But the one that sticks out the most is Thank You.
Thank You
is my all-time favorite Sly and the Family Stone song. But, you know, I have all of Sly's albums up until when Larry left. After Larry left, I'm not really real familiar with what Sly did after
That's
Larry
right.
left. But
I got to tell you which song they should have released back then, which is one of my favorites, Love City. Love City is an underrated
song. That's what I'm saying.
Song.
That's what I'm saying. I have all those albums, you know, and that's what I was, you know, I was like, Love City, Jane is a Groupie. I can go on and on and on, but we don't have that much time.
All right, guys.
But,
yeah, well, thanks
so
a lot, guys.
What I want to do is say thank you so much, Shindig. I'm so glad that you were able to you know, take time out to join
Thank
the show
so
and
I
play that song. And we're going to do more stuff in the future, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And
All
I
right.
hope to see you in New York sooner than later.
Absolutely. Be well.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right, Dr. Gene. Still is
all right.
Nice to meet
take
you all.
Care, Dig Deep. You take care.
Nice
all
right. you, brother.
That was Same a beautiful song. Loved it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Okay, Stozo.
Yes.
know you hanging out. I know you're going to be here for the rest of the show, right?
Well, I hang out, yeah. I just want to say my favorite song
out.
Was Sex Machine, too, to add to the mix.
Oh, Sex
Machine is my favorite.
He asked me his first song. Now, if he wants my favorite song, it's Sex Machine. My first song that I heard from Sly was Everyday People. But Sex Machine, you can't beat that. You blew your mind out.
The music.
Well, Dr. G said his favorite was Sex Machine. Okay, so right now we're going to continue to go down Dr. G's list, and we are coming right now to one of my favorite Grand Central songs, Grand Central Station's song, which is Hair. So tell me why you chose that one, Doctor.
Because people ask me everywhere, you know, is that me all my hair? You know what? I ain't got no hair left, so I don't know why they're asking me that. But Larry jammed on that. Larry was killer. Y'all's vocals was nice. I just love that bass on that.
Well, just let me tell you that Larry didn't do that quite all by himself. There was a group called Graham Central Station.
No, that's what I said. I think I said that, didn't I?
You did, but I'm saying, I'm just letting people know that, you know, a lot of Graham Central Station material was not Larry Graham by himself. It was a collaboration, you know what I'm saying? So by saying that, I mean, like, my verses I wrote. You know, of course, I didn't get any credit for it, but I wrote them. So that's a little funk 101 for you, okay?
I appreciate that. You are teaching tonight, and I'm learning a lot from
funk,
you.
No funk 101. So here we go, Grand Central Station, Hair, bam.
Of his hair.
I got to say so myself. They just, I mean, you know, that's funk, Dr. G.
That's it right there, baby.
That's funk right there, Dr. G. Okay, so now we got a phone call from area code 410. If they are still holding on, we're going to see if they're still holding on, and we're going to take that call. Area code 410, you still there?
I'm here.
Yay.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
you can hear me.
Yes, Fred Thomas. It's
so,
Joe giving you guys a shock out. Y'all are funky.
We're fucking up tonight.
For those of us who don't know who this is, who caller, introduce yourself. Who are we listening to?
My name is Professor Dio. I'm from Maryland, and I am a college professor of English. I happen to be related to the funk by blood. I grew up on the funk and am enjoying your show. And FYI, Dr. G is my big brother.
That's what we're looking for,
Joe. Yay. Very good. Thank you so much for calling. He's the real deal. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's all I can do to keep from cracking up on everything that comes out of his mouth. I'll tell you what.
He's been around. He does the thing.
You could tell he's been doing this for a real, real, real long time.
And you know
what? Let me tell you what. I grew up on the funk since I was knee-high to a, you know, DJ station. And literally, my first words were, you know, family affair. I'm totally, he raised me right. He really did. But I wanted to say that I know you, C-H-O-C-L-I-T, chocolate.
Yes.
That's right.
You still doing
it,
huh?
You a Grand Central Station fan?
Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Absolute favorite. Literally, I have a deep and abiding love for Larry Graham, for Sly and the Family Stone. I part ways a little bit when it comes to Funkadelic because of the diapers, the whole Gary Scheider thing, but I'm still down with that funk. And James Brown literally is like a family member to me. I grew up with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
that has to be.
My sister, she's the one I told you got up on stage with Larry a couple of years ago in Virginia.
Oh, and sang,
yeah.
I heard
that.
Yeah,
that was one of the greatest moments of my life. it was a lot of fun.
And that's what I always tell people. You know, funketeers, they come in all flavors, all denominations, all careers, all, you know, I know lawyers, doctors, you know, every time I meet somebody, no matter who they may be, and we start talking about music, you know, the funk permeates all, you know what I'm saying, the atmosphere. And so you have, and here you are a professor, but because your brother was a DJ, but even so, even at that, here you are a professor, but you're a funk professor. You know what I'm saying? You into the funk. So the funk, you know, you can't escape it.
That's right. And she writes
escape.
Books. She has a couple of books out, and I believe she's talking to Stozo about maybe doing a cover on one of her books.
Oh,
you gotta love Stozo's artwork. But I just wanted to say a couple of things just to speak to what you guys have already said during this fabulous broadcast that I've really enjoyed. First, I learned, the only reason why I'm a teacher is because I learned so much from my family members. If you want to talk funk history, rock history, music history, you're sitting with the guy. He's practically savant when it comes to knowing the facts about that stuff. So
right.
It's easy to be a professor when you have grown up with a wealth of knowledge. But that being said, I just want to say, in terms of Sly and the Family Stone, I love all of that music. But the one that literally gets me up every morning is You Can Make It If You Try, because those horns in the beginning are something that literally resonate in my head. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Absolutely, I know what you're saying. Because you're talking to, you know, I'm a disciple of Sly and the Family Stone.
I know, right?
So I know exactly what you're saying. Let me ask you this. The books that you're writing, what types of books are they?
Well, I have been writing fiction, and I write for Simon & Schuster's Strebber Books. But what he's talking about is a book of poetry that's called Remuneration for 1973. And it's just sort of an homage to the music that I grew up with from the time that I can first remember actually knowing the music and loving it myself. And that was back in 1973. So that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
You heard of Zane, the writer Zane?
Yes.
Yeah, she writes for Zane's label.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I know.
We actually grew up with Zane. She's a good friend.
Okay. All right, cool. Very good. Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate, and I know your brother appreciates so much you calling in. And we are not finished. We have only just begun. So I hope you can hang with us for the rest of the night.
I will be here. I have my two best girls with me, Dawn and V. Shout out.
Woohoo! Fuck it up, Jay!
We're going to be all right.
Okay, they over there partying.
Thanks for including us in the fun.
Yeah, they over there partying. My wife put me out of the room. I should have come
over
with y'all.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay, well, we're going to keep
thank
it going
you so
on.
Much for the phone.
Thank you. Listen, and may the phone continue to be with you, okay?
Oh, you know it will.
All right, then. So
okay.
Here we go. We're going to continue on. Thank you so much for calling. We're
going to
continue on with Dr. G's submission, Betty Davis, If I'm in Luck. Now, tell
just
me
might
why
get picked
you
up.
Just
I love Betty Davis. Loved her.
Did you happen to hear the interview I did with Greg Rico? You know, he produced that album. Did you happen to hear that?
I did not hear that. I would love to hear a rebroadcast.
Well, what you can do is you can
I love Greg. I love Betty and all of them. Jerry.
Well, what you can do is you can go listen to that interview with Greg and myself. It was a tribute to Betty Davis. You can listen to it on the archives of Everybody is a Star. But in the meantime, give me the reason why you submitted If I'm in Luck.
Well, I wanted to have at least one female on my list. And when it comes to funk, Betty rates number one in my book when it comes to funk. She is the queen of funk, you know, between her and Chocolate and Dawn Silva, those three, in my book, run things when it comes to
name
female.
Those, name those three again.
I said Chocolate, you know her, and Dawn Silva, and Betty Davis.
All right.
Three in my book.
Are you just saying that, or do you really mean that?
I really mean that. I mean, Dawn,
okay.
I love Dawn, and I love your music, and I love Betty Davis, and those first two Betty Davis albums, I still play all the time. Those first
okay.
two were incredible. Like you say, Greg produced them, and Larry played bass, and it was just incredible. I mean, you may have been on those albums, too. I'm not sure. Were you?
Well, the first album, I think it's called Betty Davis. The first album, Grand Central Station was all over it. I mean, Herschel, Willie, myself, I did a duet with Betty called Your Man, My Man.
Oh, that was you? I'm sorry, I never knew
that.
Yeah,
that was me. See, there you go.
Oh,
see, that's
man.
Why, see, Funk 101. And also, Game is My Middle Name. I'm all over that. Game is My Middle Name.
I think I knew you were on that one. I didn't know that was you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
That's me. And another one that I did some ad-libs with her on, can't think of it right now. But anyway, I'm all over that first album. Grand
Anti-Love Song and all that good stuff. That's a great album. One of my favorite albums all time.
Yeah, because it's so funky because, you know, Grand Central Station was playing the music. And plus, Greg also called in, like, you know, horns from Tower of Power, all the funkiest in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, you know, had his you know, he could call. He had, you know, they were like at his beck and call because we all worked together. It was one big, you know, it was like one big family. You know, the Bay Area had a special thing going on at that time, and there was no competition. Everybody was just being a part of that Bay Area funk, and it was being born, and it was being developed, and everybody was right there putting their own different flavors in it, Santana, Doobie Brothers, and it was just like a magical time. So a little bit of everybody is on that first album of Betty's, but mostly 85% of it is Grand Central Station.
Wow, wow. Funk 101.
Okay, so here we go. Getting ready to play Betty Davis's If I'm In Luck, I Just Might Get What?
Picked Up.
Bad about me.
Wow.
And did you know that that brother that's talking about, woo-hoo, I'm going to take her home. That was Herschel Happiness. Did you know that?
I knew that was Herschel and my boy Cornell Dudley on guitar.
Okay.
I met Cornell with Eddie Hazel, backstage with Eddie Hazel, when Eddie had his solo band when he left Funkadelic.
Okay.
He played
just
second guitar with Eddie.
Just check it and see.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, I know a lot of them.
I
don't know all of them, but I know a lot of them. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Famous show, it was Sly and the Family Stone was headlining. Graham Central Station was supposed to open for Sly, Capitol Center, outside
right.
of Washington, D.C.
Right.
Sly pulled a famous no-show.
Right.
You all came out and did, I think, the funkiest show I've ever seen in my life. You held it down. People forgot that Sly was even supposed to be there. And for a long time, that was the biggest crowd in Capitol Center history for years. You remember that?
Of course I remember it. And I have a book called Deja Vu, Memoirs of a Funk Diva.
Uh-oh.
That you can find on PatriceChocolateBanks.com. And it tells all about that experience because I just want to say this. I just want to say I'm looking so forward to that gig because, you know, to me it was like I wanted Graham Central Station to I was caught between a rock and a hard spot because I almost worshiped Sly. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
But Graham Central Station, we was doing our thing so hard and so heavy until, to me, it was like a boxing match. You know what I'm saying? It was the equivalent of a boxing match.
And
who was gonna throw the knockout punch? So
it was Ali.
So I was all ready. So when we heard, because we heard right before, you know, it was time for us to go on. You know, they told us, like, at the very last minute that Sly was not going to be playing. And I was very supremely disappointed because I wanted to, you know, I just wanted to prove that Graham Central Station was worthy. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted to see how it was going to turn out. And in my mind, I already that I knew how it was going to turn out. So when it didn't happen, I was very, very disappointed. But like you said, when we went out there, it was like people forgot Sly was even supposed to be there. So,
that's the honest to God truth. People forgot about
yeah,
Sly.
So I just want to say that D.C., Philly in particular, New York, D.C. first, Philly second, New York third, of my favorite places that I love to come to and gig because, yeah, especially D.C., y'all knew how to party.
We still do.
Okay, Philly, they did some things that I had never seen before. They were the first ones that came to the concerts. The fans came and they had their whistles. They had their tambourines. I think that was the first time I had ever seen that in Philly. New York, they were busy, like, studying you to see because, you know, they were very sophisticated, so you had to prove yourself to them. And so it didn't take long to baptize them. So, you know, by the time, you know, that the East Coast was always, whenever I found out we were going to the East Coast and D.C. in particular and Maryland, I was like, couldn't wait to get there.
And we couldn't wait to see you.
Couldn't wait to get there. Okay, so now the next song on your list is Slave. Slave Slide. Slide. So tell me why you chose that one.
Well, I want to show a little Ohio. You know, I grew up in Cincinnati before I moved to Maryland, and I want to have a little of that Ohio funk, that, you know, that Slave, that Son, Ohio Players, Isley Brothers, all that Cincinnati funk. So,
so
I wanted
Rogers,
to have a little bit of that in there. And that's a funky
Rogers,
jam. Them
yeah,
boys
Rogers,
rock on that. They both passed
you know,
away last year.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
and, you know,
the bass player and the guitar player. Mark
wow.
Adams and then Drac.
Right.
Drac, too, both of them.
Oh, okay. Because there's a tribute slave band out here in L.A., and they do a lot of their stuff. But I didn't realize until I met Professor Scott Brown from UCLA, who does African-American studies. He's a professor, and he also came from, I think it's Buffalo, and he's a musician, and he is the one that turned me on to all the funk that came out of Ohio because, he wrote a book on it, and he's writing stuff on it, and he's been on many unsung episodes as that one that they go to.
Oh, I've seen him on Unsung, yeah.
Yeah, you've seen him. His name is Scott Brown. So he turned me on to all the funk that came out of
Ohio.
Because to me, all I knew about was the Ohio Players.
Mm-hmm. Ozzy Brothers, Zapp.
Yeah, back
like
in the day.
Slave Son.
Right.
Lakeside.
Right.
Yeah, a lot
right.
of funk out of Ohio.
Right. A lot of it. Was it something in the water?
Hmm. Yeah, I think so. The Ohio River, something in there.
So here we go with Slide by Slave. Bam, BBJ.
Sounding like the empire to me. Yeah, I'm about to leave. Won't you come away?
probably niggas don't like a lot of guitar funk.
Yeah, huh?
I like that guitar.
Yeah, me too. I do too. Ernie Isley is one of my favorites.
Another Cincinnati boy, you know.
I know. So, tell me this. What do you think about the direction music is going in today?
I'm a little disappointed at the direction of the music is going. I have a son who's 22, and the stuff he listens to sometimes, I just can't believe it. And, you know, not real music. I mean, a lot of rapping and beatboxing and scratching and, but they're not picking up the guitars and the bass, you know. I want to see some folks playing some real instruments, you know, and
right,
and some real vocals.
Right.
So I'm a little bit disappointed, but you got some folks that are coming along. There's a young lady playing guitar named Melina.
Mm-hmm.
I forget her last name. Playing with Bootsy,
female guitarist.
She's excellent. She's got an album. Her name escapes me right now. But there's some good stuff out there, but most of it, I have to say, is not.
So what do you foresee as the future of, you know, where music is going? Let's say funk in particular, because, you know, that's what I'm interested in. That's, you know, that's my baby right there. Like, what's going to happen to funk? Because I feel that funk has never, ever gotten the acclaim that it deserves. It never gotten the, you know, if it were not for funk music, you know, if funk has stopped because disco was a joke. So if it were not for funk, then hip-hop and all the rest of it up to this point, it would not exist as far as I'm concerned. So,
oh, you're right. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
The hip-hop came right out of the funk. In the beginning of hip-hop, they were sampling James Brown, Sly Stone, you know, Larry Graham, Central Station.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
They were sampling all the good stuff because they couldn't create it themselves.
Didn't know how, bless their hearts. So where do you see music going? How do you think it's going to end up if you were to try to project? I know it's hard to exactly say because we never know what's going to happen, but if it keeps going this way, what do you think?
Well, you know, they said funk used to be a bad word. Now I'm thinking funk is no word at all. Folks, the young folks don't even know what funk is. You say funk and they think Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, and that's not the funk.
Right.
I mean, there's some good music, but that's not. And
right.
So I'm afraid that the word funk is disappearing among the young folks. They don't know what it is, and it's a shame.
And that's profound what you just said, because that perspective, your perspective, is very legitimate. But disappearing, what I'm afraid of, the word, because see, what I'm seeing out here on the West Coast, okay, is that everybody is using the word funk. Like, you'll go to, somebody will advertise their event as the funk festival this and the funk this and the funk that, and then when you go to the actual event, funk is nowhere to be found. So, you know, and...
At least you're keeping
and
the word alive. On the East Coast, you don't even see any funk festivals. You know, it's jazz festivals, you know.
Right.
So I'm glad you're at least
keeping
the word alive. And I'm hearing about some stuff out there from Dawn Silva and some of the brides, you know, doing some stuff on the West Coast. So I think that's a good thing. I just wish, you know, we bring some of it out here.
But what I'm saying to you is that funk is being misrepresented out here. People are just using that word funk to attract. And, you know, and for the most part, you know, you got these young white kids that are trying to get into funk and trying to find out what funk is all about.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's what they think that's funk.
Yeah, right, and find out what it's all about. So anytime they see anything that's labeled a funk festival or funk this or funk that, they are there. But unfortunately, what they are hearing, what they come to see, the acts that are actually playing have very little, almost nothing to do with funk music. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
So every once in a while, there will be a funk event that will have, like, the Brides of Funkenstein. Like, I have to say, there's this brother, Bobby Easton. He's not a brother. He's a white boy that gives a funk festival every year. It's called the Long Beach Funk Fest. And he You're right. He tries to keep it authentic. He's had Don on there like two or three times. He's had the Stone City Band on there. You know, Jimmy Castro. He has tried to keep it alive as far as trying to keep it authentic. But, you know, he's just using, as far as I'm concerned, to attract, because there's also this whole sect of pseudo-funk. It's a pseudo-funk movement that's going. So if you have, like, the Brides of Funkenstein, and he's even had the Family Stone. If you have the Brides of Funkenstein, the Family Stone, if you have them on, you know, in your event, but then you have, like, 10 other pseudo-funk groups.
Pseudo-funk, right. I hear what you said. They use that name, and then they sneak in a bunch of other stuff that has nothing to do with the funk.
Absolutely, and that's what really gets on my nerves really, really bad. So I am in the process of doing what I can to keep the funk alive in a real way, and I got some things coming up, and everybody's going to know about it as soon as I get it, and then you're going to be one of the first ones I call because you are a soldier, okay?
So, I'm a funk soldier.
You a soldier, my brother. So that's what I want to know. That's why I wanted to know what you thought about, you know, the shape that music is in right now. So do you have any shout-outs?
I want to shout out to energyproductions.com. That's my website, energyproductions.com. I also want to shout out to funkinthefirstdegree.com. I'd like folks to check out that podcast. There's a lot of good music on there. And also, I write for Soul Patrol. .com with Mr. Bob Davis. So I'm doing a whole lot of stuff out here on the East Coast.
Okay. And so where do we go to find out about all things Dr. G?
Well, energyproductions.com. Energyproductions.com.
Okay.
Check out the website.
Repeat that one more time.
energy, Productions.com. Energyproductions.com.
Energyproductions.com. Okay, everybody got that? So I just want to say that for all things chocolate, go to PatriceChocolateBanks.com. And by the way, Dr. G, you need my book, by the way. PatriceChocolateBanks.com. Go there. Mm-hmm. And I want to shout out my family, who continues to support everything that I do. I want to shout out my Funkalutionaries who are helping me. And Stozo, we have a movement called the Funkalution, and we're about to make some serious changes in funk music, period. I want to shout out the Facebook Nation because they are so integral in what's going on right now. This social networking thing is, like, imperative almost. So I want to shout out my Funk Book Nation. I want to shout out Team Chocolate. I want to shout out, did I get everybody? Of course, Tribe Family Channel, Beverly Black Johnson, the creator of Tribe Family Channel, for this platform. And I want to say God bless all of y'all. And remember that everybody is a star, but your shine is just different from mine. That's all it is. And Mother's Day weekend is coming up, and I want to say thank you. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers, every single one of y'all out there.
And baby sister Joe, Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, she was. That was the one we talked to.
Yes.
she's off the hook. And so we're gonna go up the professor. That's what I'm talking about. We're gonna go out on this last song of yours, and then we're gonna continue on out, you know, for those, so you don't have to hang up. Y'all can continue. The party will continue until they shut us down. But we're gonna go off right now on your last song that you submitted, James Brown, Get It Together, okay? And what better way to go out than with the godfather of funk, as far as I'm concerned. So,
the godfather.
Dr. G, I plan on talking to you real soon. It's up to you, you know.
We're going to talk because I want to get you on the Funk in the First Degree podcast.
Okay.
Real soon.
Give me that call. And
I will.
In the meantime, we're getting ready to go out, and I want to say it has been more than a pleasure, and thank you so much. And keep up the good work and keep that funk alive.
Keep the funk alive.
All right. Get it together. Bam.
Ooh-way! Done got mine. All the way you're doing. Do you know one thing? I'm gonna put you down. Oh, get it together. Get it together. Get it together. Get it together. Oh, you decided you wanted a brand new bag. You said you wanted. A brand new bag. But you were just jiving. You wanted to feel drag. You dropped out of school before you got it down. You hear me? You dropped out of school before you got it down. Now you ain't hip. You're the biggest fool in town.
man. You're good now. There's something I want to say right here. Now when I say, I want you to hit me one time. Do you hear me? Let me hear you. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Jabba, do you hear me? Now when I say, one time, you say, now I'm gonna ask for two. Can you give me two? Can I get two? Two times. Good God. If you're hearing a noise, it's just me and the boys. So everybody be mellow. Somebody might drop their horn and things like that. So don't worry about that. I gotta say it three times. Can I get three, fellas? Three times! Good daughter. Ha. All right now. All right. Now if I ask for four, is it possible I can get four? If I can get four, I got you to open the door and leave. I can get four. Give me four. Good girl. Don't play so much. Don't be so mean. Think about that cold sweat. You came out. Come here. Raspberry, what kind of horn you play? Trombone. Trombone. Can I get a little taste of that trombone? Right about now. Stretch it. That's right. Now, same thing with you, Wayman. Stretch your nose. Joe, can you play a little bit over there? Come on. Pee-wee, frankly, I'm not going to ask you to play, Jack, because your horn is too big. And you got too much horn over there. Give me a little extra stroke there, country, so I know you're playing guitar. Yeah. Sinclair, since you're from Augusta, Georgia, like I am, let me hear you play your baritone. You got to have some soul. Right about, yeah. Now. Right now. Good. All right. All right. Get it. Now, fellas. Now, just ease out of it. That's right. You keep playing, Maceo, because the groove is there. Now, tell you what I want you to do. Now, when I say hit it, I want you to hit it. You hear me, Jabbo? You hear me, Bernard? But when I say quit it, I want you to quit it. You ready? Cut it! Quit it! Wayman, it's like you've got a bad night tonight. But you're gonna be mellow. I know you're all right. Have another. No, it'd be cool. All right. You ready? Yeah. Now, hit it. Come on. Quit it. But I got tired and quit on us. You still got the groove. You still got the groove. Bring it up. Bring it up. Come on. Bring it up. Bring it up now. Bring it up. Engineer, can you cut this thing down? Fade me on out of here, because I got to leave anyway. Thank you.
Base. Billy Lays and stuff of that nature. Bad, bad shorty on the for real side. 20 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Here comes our Kino weather report from a swinging soul brother to you.
What a groove. Partly cloudy tonight, increasing cloudiness Wednesday. Rain likely Wednesday night and Thursday. Low tonight, 37 to 47. High Wednesday, 53 to 60. Southerly wind, 10 to 20 miles per hour.
Hi. Milt Jackson talking at you. You know, at the end of a night's playing, my arms are tired. Never too tired to lift a big can of Slitz malt liquor. My friend, that's a taste. And a taste that does more than just handle my thirst. It makes those other malt liquors seem, well, just plain, plain. Listen, you don't have to take my word for it. Try some yourself. You'll see, it's the premium malt liquor. Because nobody makes malt liquor like Slitz. Nobody.
You got it, Milt. And here's something else. Now Slitz malt liquor is available in the big 16-ounce cans and at local prices. You pay no more for 16 ounces of the premium malt liquor than you do for local brands. And that's got to make it the best deal in town. Because like Milt Jackson says, nobody makes malt liquor like Slitz. Nobody. Joseph Slitz Brewing Company, Milwaukee and other cities. Non-stop if you can dig it. 23 past 6 o'clock. Ray Charles one time.
My baby, my baby. Ain't treat me right. Ain't treat me right.
What a girl walks the streets all day. And sometimes she don't come home at night. Oh, I'm on the road.
Such a gas to be putting soul on you so regularly. That's kind of good. Linda Holloway, 26 past 6 now. Dig her. Love her. Want her. Leave her. Do not burn, baby, burn. Learn, baby, learn, so that you can earn, baby, earn. Set something called yearn, baby, yearn. Or you'll be sitting around one of these days talking about dern, baby, dern. But you didn't turn, baby, turn. I want you to get together and turn, baby, turn.
Don't you ever.
If you can't get that to your knowledge box, just wait for me. I'll be there.
On me.
Hold on, I'm coming. Chuck Jackson, that team down. Of 7 in a row. Bernard Garrett of the Sly Stone Zone for 7 o'clock. Goodness for your mind, your body, and your soul, for real.
All your lies.
In a row, 637. This is KSOL in San Francisco. Don't get it twisted. I'm Sly Stone. You don't want a fake stone, you know. 8 men, 4 women. This is O.B. Wright one time.
I dreamed that love was a crime. I was alone, so lonely and blue. You know why?
Clark Terry here, getting ready to pop open a can of Schlitz malt liquor. And you know why? It's a drink that takes care of more than just my thirst. This one makes other malt liquors seem just plain, plain. But say, why not join me? Try some Schlitz malt liquor yourself and find out why they call it the premium malt liquor. When it comes to malt liquor, nobody makes it like Schlitz, baby. Nobody.
Right, Clark, and here's some good news. Now Schlitz sells that malt liquor of theirs in a big 16-ounce can, and they're selling it at local prices. You'll pay no more for Schlitz malt liquor in those big 16-ounce cans than you do for local brands. And that's the best deal you'll find. Because like Clark Terry says, this one's the premium malt liquor. So hustle on out and get yourself some. Nobody makes malt liquor like Schlitz. Just nobody. Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company, Milwaukee and other cities.
Swinging Soul Brothers remind you that American medical skills are sent to the people of the new nation through the efforts of Project Hope. This is undoubtedly one of the grooviest charity organizations of all time.
K-S-O-L, Soul Radio.
I'm not going to do much. I don't know how to cook, and I don't really iron that well, and hey, I don't do a lot of things, but I'm going to give her all the love I've got. This is Jimmy Ruffin, 10 minutes before 7 on the Stoner's Gauge.
There's a train leaving here tomorrow.
Minutes before 7 o'clock, I met Smokey Robinson when he was out here. Proved to be a gassy, very gassy, original, authentic, talented cat.
Beautiful.
Put him on you one time. What I'm going to call 8 in a row. Everybody's familiar with the Young Rascals, I hope. 5 before 7 one time. I've been lonely too long. Nine, stop, double clutching, triple F fly. All I want to say is do it to death.
And the best is coming.
Thank you.
ain't no stopping till it's